You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 281. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 281. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Visit our website at eslpod.com. Download a learning guide for this episode. The learning guide contains a complete transcript of everything we say on this episode, as well as vocabulary words, definitions, sample sentences, cultural notes, comprehension questions, and pictures of my new cat. If you believe that, you haven't been listening to ESL Podcast very long, have you? I mean the part about the cat. The rest of it is true. On this cafe, we're going to have another one of our Ask an American segments where we listen to other native speakers talking at a normal speed. We listen to them and then explain what they are talking about. Today we're going to listen to people talking about how American teenagers, those between the ages of 13 and 19, aren't getting enough sleep. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. Our topic on this cafe is how American teenagers, apparently, aren't getting enough sleep and the problems that that can cause. We're going to listen to some people talking about American teenagers' sleep habits, that is, what they normally do in terms of getting enough sleep. We'll start by listening to a 16-year-old named Danny. Try to understand as much as you can, then we'll go back and explain what he said. Let's listen.
Getting up in the morning is pretty terrible. I'm just very out of it and tired. And then going to school, I'm out of it. And through first and second period, I can barely stay awake.
Poor Danny says that getting up in the morning, or waking up and getting out of bed, is pretty terrible, meaning it's very unpleasant and difficult. Here's some news for you, Danny. It doesn't get easier when you get older. Anyway, he says that he's very out of it when he wakes up. He says, I'm just very out of it and tired. The phrase to be out of it means that you are not fully awake, that you can't participate in things going on around you because you're very tired. Maybe you didn't sleep well. Maybe you took some drugs and so forth. Or maybe you took some drugs and that's the reason you can't sleep well, Danny. Then Danny says, and then after that, after I wake up, I go to school. He says, then going to school, I'm out of it. And through first and second period, I can barely stay awake. In American schools, especially high schools, the time for a certain class is called the period. In my old high school, we had 7 periods, meaning there were 7 different class times that you had. The first one may have started at, 7:55, I think. and that goes for 50 or 55 minutes. Then there's a 5-minute break to give you the opportunity to get to your next classroom, and that would be second period. High schools have different periods. As I say, mine had 7, and every period you have a different class. Everyone takes different classes, but the periods when the classes start and end are the same for everyone. One student may have American history for first period. Notice we say for first period rather than for the first period. English for second period, and math for third period, for example. Danny feels so out of it during first and second period that he can barely stay awake. Barely means just able to. You can do it, but it's difficult. To stay awake means not to fall asleep, even though you are very tired. For example, if Danny stays up late playing video games, then he gets up the next morning, he may feel very tired and have difficulty staying awake. Here's a suggestion, Danny. Get to bed earlier. Now let's listen to Danny one more time.
Getting up in the morning is pretty terrible. I'm just very out of it and tired. And then going to school, I'm out of it. And through first and second period, I can barely stay awake.
Now we'll listen to a psychologist who specializes in sleep disorders. Disorders are problems that people have related to their mental or physical health. So sleep disorders are problems that people have sleeping. He's going to describe some of the problems caused by not getting enough sleep. Let's listen.
We have long known that the more sleep deprived you are, the more cranky you are. So when your child who really needs 8 to 9 or even 9 to 10 hours is only sleeping for 7 hours a night, they are going to experience a form of depression that could be significant and could have some pretty major effects on their overall well-being.
The psychologist begins by saying that we have long known, meaning we have known for a long time, for many years, that the more sleep deprived you are, the more cranky you are. Deprivation, DEPRIVATION, means not getting or having enough of something. If you have calorie deprivation, that means you're not getting enough to eat. Sleep deprivation means not getting enough sleep. That's why the good doctor says that the more sleep deprived you are, the more cranky you are. Deprive is the verb from which we get deprivation, the noun. To be cranky, C-R-A-N-K-Y, is a somewhat informal way of saying you are not feeling well. You're not in a good mood. You may become mad or irritated very easily. Little children, when they don't get enough sleep, are sometimes cranky. We might say they're irritable. They get irritated or bothered easily. I get that way too if I don't get my venti Earl Grey tea latte with 7 pumps of vanilla by 9 o'clock every morning. Dr. What's his name? The psychologist. He's saying that children will become cranky if they don't get enough sleep. He says that a child normally needs 8 to 9 or even 9 to 10 hours of sleep. He says, so when your child, who really needs 8 to 9 or even 9 to 10 hours, is only sleeping 7 hours a night, they are going to experience a form of depression that could be significant. Depression refers to very strong feelings or emotions of sadness, things that you perhaps can't really explain. Sometimes new mothers experience depression after the birth of their child, what's called postpartum depression. Other people may feel depression if they lose a job or if someone close to them dies. The psychologist is saying that a child's depression can be caused by a lack of, not having enough, sleep, and that this depression could be significant or big, important. He says that depression could have some pretty major effects on their overall well-being. Pretty major means very major, very large, very important effects or consequences on their overall well-being. Overall means considering all the different parts of their life in this case, their happiness, their health, and so forth. Well-being, W-E-L-L-B-E-I-N-G, one word, means how healthy a person is physically and mentally. Let's listen to the good doctor one more time.
We have long known that the more sleep deprived you are, the more cranky you are. So when your child, who really needs 8 to 9 or even 9 to 10 hours, is only sleeping for 7 hours a night, they are going to experience a form of depression that could be significant and could have some pretty major effects on their overall well-being.
Next, we're going to listen to Eric, who is the head or leader of a private school called St. George's School in the state of Rhode Island. Rhode Island is on the eastern coast of the United States. It's one of the original 13 states. It is next to Connecticut and Massachusetts. It is also the smallest state in terms of physical size in the United States. Everyone in the state is very small. They're less than, say, 4 feet tall. So if you go to Rhode Island and you're 6 feet tall, you're like a giant. They think you are from another planet. So that's Rhode Island. Anyway, Eric says that his school started their classes later, being convinced that if you gave the teenagers more time to sleep, that they would do better. So they moved the beginning of the school day from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8:30 in the morning. He then describes what happened after they made this change.
What was really astonishing was how many benefits and how significant the benefits were. In the research itself, we saw just over 50% decrease in health center admissions for fatigue or fatigue-related illness or rest requests. We saw almost 35% decrease in first-period tardiness. Students reported that they were more alert. They were less sleepy during the day.
Sorry. I fell asleep there with Eric and his exciting descriptions. Let's see. Eric says that what was really astonishing after they made this change was how many benefits and how significant the benefits were. When we say something is astonishing, we mean that it is very surprising, very unexpected, but in a good way. Eric said that the benefits, the good things that came from this change, were astonishing and very significant, very important. He says in the research itself, and I am guessing here, he means the school did some research on what happened, some investigation on what happened after the change. We saw just over a 50% decrease in health center admissions for fatigue or fatigue-related illness or rest requests. Okay, so he says we saw, meaning we observed, just over, meaning a little bit more than, 50% decrease or decline in health center admissions. A health center is what we typically call a clinic located at a school or a university. It's not a hospital, but it often has a doctor or two there with nurses that can help students who are sick. Admission means entrance. When you go into a certain place, we can talk about admission to a zoo or admission to a hospital. Here he's talking about admission to a health center. In this context, it's students going to probably a room or two within the school where they have a nurse, maybe a doctor, I'm not sure. Probably just a nurse who can help students who are sick. He says that the number of students going to the health center declined by 50%, especially for fatigue or fatigue-related illness. Fatigue, F-A-T-I-G-U-E, describes feelings of being extremely tired. So fatigue-related illnesses would be those that were caused by not getting enough sleep or being very tired. He says that there was also a decrease in rest requests. I have no idea what this is. Rest, I understand, meaning you stop working and you maybe lie down, take a short nap, sleep for a short period of time. To request means to ask for something, or the noun of something that you've asked for. Rest requests, I'm guessing, is when a student goes to the health center and says they want to rest. I don't know. Kids today, you know what I'm saying? I have no idea what this means. Maybe the students should just study instead of requesting rest. Just an idea. Eric says that we saw almost a 35% decrease in first period tardiness. To be tardy, T-A-R-D-Y, means to be late, to arrive late to an appointment or, more commonly, to a class in a school. Tardiness describes the general situation of people being late. In most schools, if you arrive late to a class, and I'm referring now to high schools and grade schools or elementary schools, often the teacher will make a note of it, and you may be punished in some ways. Maybe they'll send you to the health center and give you a rest request. I'm not sure. Anyway, these poor students therefore have decreased the amount of first period tardiness, and that means they are not late to their first class as much as they used to be. Students also reported that they were more alert. To be alert means to be completely awake, to be aware of what is happening around you. It's important to be alert when you are driving. That means not talking on your cell phone, not texting on your cell phone, but actually driving, which is what you're supposed to do when you're in a car. Students need to be alert at school so they can talk to their neighbors, look at the pretty girls. These are important parts of school culture in the United States. Oh yeah, and listen to the teacher, of course. Students reported being more alert after having another half hour to sleep. Eric says they were less sleepy during the day, meaning they did not feel as tired during the day. Now let's listen to Eric one more time.
What was really astonishing was how many benefits and how significant the benefits were. In the research itself, we saw just over 50% decrease in health center admissions for fatigue or fatigue-related illness or rest requests. We saw almost 35% decrease in first period tardiness. Students reported that they were more alert, they were less sleepy during the day.
Now let's answer some of your questions. Lorenz, L-O-R-E-N-Z, in Germany, wants to know how we use three verbs that are related to shopping and getting new things: to buy, to purchase, and to acquire. To buy and to purchase both can mean to get something in exchange for money. I give you $10, you give me a CD, a compact disc from Lady Gaga. That's to buy something, or to purchase something. I purchased a CD from you. I bought, past tense of buy, a CD from you. To buy can also mean to give someone money illegally to convince them to do something or say something. The verb we would use here is to bribe. B-R-I-B-E. If we say someone was bought, a person, we mean they have been bribed. The politician had been bought by the drug company. They had been bribed, given money to do certain things or say certain things. To acquire can also mean to get something by giving someone money, or perhaps by giving them an object that they want or something that they want. I may acquire a new computer by trading or giving my iPhone to them. I give them my iPhone, they give me their computer. We would call that trading. But it can also be used here to mean to acquire. It's the same thing. Acquire is a somewhat more formal verb. We would use it in talking about one company buying another company. We might say the company acquired this other company. Google acquired many things, many companies. I'm hoping they would acquire ESL Podcast. We will sell the podcast for $1 billion, so if anyone from Google is listening, call me. Anyway, that's acquire. It can be used in a formal sense. You might also even use it if someone gives you something, or perhaps someone dies and leaves you something. I acquired a piano when my aunt died. For example, I didn't actually acquire a piano. My mother acquired a piano when my great aunt died, That would be the aunt of my father. So, to review. To buy, to purchase, and to acquire can all be used when talking about giving someone money or trading something to get something from someone. The verb buy in the past tense can also be used to describe a person who has been bribed. I should add that acquire, because it's more formal, is often also used for big purchases, things that are very expensive. We might say that the art museum acquired a new painting. They paid money for it, they bought it, but we would probably use the verb acquire here. We also use the verb acquire when talking about languages. I am trying to acquire a new language. I am trying to learn it, to be able to hear it, read it, speak it, and write it. Mehdi, M-E-H-D-I, from Iran, wants to know the meaning of the expression to burn the candle at both ends. A candle is a stick or block, a square, or round piece of wax that has a kind of string in the middle. That string is called the wick, W-I-C-K. And you take a fire and you light the wick, and it burns and it gives you light. That's a candle. To burn the candle at both ends, to light it at both ends, would of course mean that the candle would get used up more quickly. The expression, however, is used to mean to work very hard, to work many hours, to stay up late at night to do something or to complete something. The idea is that you are burning the candle during the day and at night because you're working so much. We usually use this expression when we're talking about things that need to be completed by a certain time, what we would call a deadline. More generally, it's used to mean that we are doing too much, that we need to rest. Finally, Ayano, A-Y-A-N-O, in Japan, wants to know how we use three similar expressions. Let's, L-E apostrophe S, meaning let us. Shall we? And why don't we? Let's, as I said, is what we would call a shortened or contracted form of let us. It's used as a suggestion to do something. It's a statement, that is to say, it's not a question. Shall we? Why don't we? Those are ways of beginning a question. If you say let's, you're just making a suggestion, but you're not putting it in the form of a question. For example, let's take the children to the movies. That's a suggestion. I am suggesting that you and I take the children to the movies. Or let's take my neighbor's children to the park about 10 miles from here so I don't have to hear them yelling and screaming. Let's go to dinner. That's a suggestion. I am suggesting that you and I go to dinner. Shall we and why don't we are ways of starting a question, but they can mean something similar. They're also ways of suggesting something, of proposing something. Why don't we go to Las Vegas and lose all our money by playing poker? That's a suggestion. Not a good suggestion, but it's a suggestion. Why don't we go shopping for presents the day before Christmas? Also a suggestion, not a good one. Shall we can mean the same as Why don't we? And let's. Shall we go to the movies now? The verb shall, or the helping verb shall, is a more polite way of suggesting something. Shall we can also be used as a way of asking a real question, not just making a suggestion. Shall I buy one bottle of wine or two? You're asking a polite question. You can often see the combination of let's and shall we in one sentence. For example, let's all go to get some coffee at a cafe after the concert, shall we? So you're making a suggestion, but you're also kind of asking the other people if that's okay. Again, it's a slightly more formal way of speaking. Let's talk about the book that we just read, shall we? If you have a question or comment, why don't you email us? Our email address is eslpod@eslpod.com. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Thanks also to the Voice of America for the quotes that we used in today's Ask an American segment. Come back and listen to us next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2011 by the Center for Educational Development.